When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Since I got married, my wife's been slowly turning over my wardrobe from embarrassing to clothes she's actually proud of. The problem is, I hate how all that stuff fits. Then I got my hands on the player shirt from cricketshirts.com when they decided to sponsor our show, and we both love it. It fits perfectly. It's not too baggy, not too skinny. It's got that perfect mix of old school and modern that makes you feel like Arnold Palmer or JFK. And the 100% certified organic cotton is extremely soft. I love to wear it everywhere. I love to wear it at work, out of the store, going to the restaurant, or even when I'm at the course. You'll love it too, and you can get yours for 20% off your first purchase with our special offer. All you have to do is visit cricketshirts.com/fantasypros and enter promo code fantasypros. That's cricket, C-R-I-Q-U-E-T, shirts.com/fantasypros and enter the promo code fantasypros, all one word. Fantasy coaches, and thanks for joining the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and by my side is producer JP Gale. You know, we've had a lot of people write in and ask where this intro music came from. The song is called Dissolve by Abzafacto. They have a lot of really catchy stuff. Check them out. They have a really cool sound. Today, we're joined by Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com. We'll be recapping Week 5, then hitting the waiver wire to discuss some of the top pickups of the week. Hey, Jamie, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Doing real good. It was another fun week of football. I'm still trying to figure out who my team's going to be because I had my team stripped away. I'm from St. Louis. I'm loving what I'm seeing in the Vikings. I don't want to be a bandwagon fan and just pick the hot team, but man, they are so good. They're the only undefeated team right now. And producer JP has to be just dancing in his chair because he's a big Vikings fan. They've allowed 16, 14, 10, 10, and 13 points. Three really good offenses. How long can they keep this up?
Well, they'll be undefeated for one more week, which is a nice thing, you know, with their bye week. So you get another week to celebrate for sure. I mean, look, you can argue that's the best defense in football. You know, the Broncos, the Seahawks, and, you know, whoever else you want to throw in the mix there will certainly make their own case. But, I mean, look at some of the offenses that they faced. Look at some of the receivers that they've shut down, the passing games that they've basically eliminated. That secondary is amazing. They're doing such a great job of shutting down the run. You know, I think a lot of people freaked out, obviously, when they lost Teddy Bridgewater and had to make the trade for Sam Bradford. But you can, you know, make an argument that Bradford may be a better quarterback at this point in his career than Bridgewater is. You know, it really depends on what side of the fence you're on. I could see it either way. And I think just from an offensive standpoint, you never want to lose an Adrian Peterson, but this may open things up a little bit offensively as we see as the season unfolds, especially now coming off their bye week. I think what Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata do collectively may be better for what North Turner wants to do as an offensive coordinator. You'd rather have Adrian Peterson, the luxury of that, you know, horse of a running back. But I think what McKinnon specifically, you know, can do in the passing game keeping him on the field is going to open things up, I think, for that offense, especially when everybody's healthy, when Diggs is healthy, and they start to figure out really who their second receiver is.
Yeah, it's amazing. They're doing it without an offensive line either. Everyone's beat up there. So when they come back from the bye, they get the Eagles at Philadelphia. That's going to be a tough one. If they get past that, they got the Bears, Lions, and Redskins. They might just be 9-0 going into a home game against the Cardinals in Week 11. That would be really fun to watch right there around Thanksgiving. I think it's eventually going to be problematic when Bradford has to win them a game, though. I'm just not sure he's that type of quarterback.
Well, you know, it's funny because in his first two starts, they were down 10 points, you know, and they were down 10 to the Titans. You know, you can make an argument that's not exactly a great defense. Week two against Green Bay, they were down 10 points too. You know, so they were able to, you know, come back in that regard against a good offense and certainly a good defense. But I think circumstances being at home, Green Bay, second straight road game for them, you know, that played into their right into their wheelhouse. But they had to go into Carolina, you know, and you know, he had to face a good defense. I think we've seen that Carolina will find out Monday night against Tampa Bay, you know, how good of a defense actually the Panthers are right now. But going to Carolina, that was a tough game, and he had to win the game there against, you know, a tougher opponent. And then you can make an argument, obviously, the last 2 weeks have sort of worked in his favor, you know, getting the Giants and the Texans in their building. So, yeah, we'll see when Bradford's chasing, you know, a two-touchdown deficit, how that offense really goes. But, you know, I think the nice thing is you're seeing some weapons develop. Adam Thielen against the Texans, obviously Stephon Diggs, you know, Kyle Rudolph has been, you know, off to such a fantastic start and really, you know, starting to live up to his potential. It seems like, you know, 100 years into his career, but it's finally starting to happen for him. And, I just think that they're not going to really be in those type of situations, you know, thankfully from Bradford's standpoint, because the defense is so good.
It reminds me a lot of Peyton Manning last year. I mean, we all know Peyton Manning's a legend, but he wasn't very good last year. The Broncos defense had to carry him, and they won the Super Bowl despite him. So, you know, maybe that's what'll happen in Minnesota. I'm rooting for Bradford. He's had a really rough career with the injuries, having a new offensive coordinator every year, no support around him whatsoever. So this is really fun for me to see, having been a St. Louis guy who always rooted for Bradford. Now, Jamie, Dak Prescott has looked really good. And I know Jerry Jones is saying Romo's going to be the guy when he comes back. But do you think this is a bad move?
No, I think what Romo will bring once, you know, they haven't really been tested either. You know, look at the defenses that Prescott's had to face, you know, specifically at home. He hasn't really had a tough road opponent. This week is going to be a good test for him going into Green Bay because, you know, we didn't really see it Monday or Sunday night with the Giants. Well, probably nobody saw it because of the debate. But, you know, if you watch the game, you know, you didn't really see a typical primetime home game performance from that Packers offense. And maybe they're just not the same team offensively. But I think this will be an interesting situation because most likely they will put up a number that the Cowboys will have to chase. And we'll see if Prescott can overcome a tough environment, overcome, you know, a pass rush that's probably going to be on him a little bit more than what he's seen. You know, Green Bay is probably a little bit better off defensively at this point than Cincinnati, and that's probably the toughest defense that Prescott's faced. And so I think it'll be a little bit different when you can't just hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and then play this time of possession, run-dominated offense that he's had the luxury of running. So it'll be a fun test to see Green Bay. And, you know, if he gets through that with a win, then I think the conversation becomes a little bit more difficult. And maybe the Cowboys do the smart thing and say, okay, if Romo's not 100%, you buy another week because, you know, they get Philadelphia coming out of their bye in week 8. And then it's Cleveland, and maybe let him get through those two games in terms of Prescott. And then Romo comes back for maybe the tough test at Pittsburgh, which will be a homecoming for him November 13th. And that could be a situation where they, you know, just buy Romo more and more time because they have the luxury of that 4-1 start, which, you know, has put them in such a good position ahead of Washington, ahead of the Giants, and, you know, just in that driver's seat right now. I guess, you know, it's same record as the Eagles, but in that driver's seat, I think, you know, from a standpoint of being right there in terms of on top of the division.
You know, Prescott's probably going to get Dez Bryant back either this week or next week too, which, you know, might even take him to another level. Now, Zeke Elliott, I know he's going up against that great run defense Green Bay has, but I mean, he put up 171 yards, 2 touchdowns on just 18 touches against a pretty good defense this week, Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not so sure there's any fantasy player, even Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, that I'd rather have than Zeke going forward.
It's funny, you know, there's probably 4 running backs right now that are going at just such a high level. You mentioned 3 of them. I'd put McCoy in that conversation too, because since the coordinator change, you know, which if you read the tea leaves, he probably had a lot to do with, you know, going to the owner It just reeks of a LeSean McCoy type of situation, being the veteran of that offense. He's been phenomenal. But yeah, Elliott's just been ridiculous. And my only concern with him, and it's more long-term than short-term, is are they going to run him into the ground like they did with DeMarco Murray? And you saw the results the year after, because, you know, if you've been following fantasy football for a long time, the curse of 370 is something that, you know, is realistic, and hopefully he doesn't suffer from that. But yeah, he's amazing, you know. And it's funny, go back to the beginning of the season, you know, I don't know what side of the argument you were on, but a rookie in the first round, we've never seen that before. How's that going to go? He's a rock star behind that offensive line.
I had him as my number one overall fantasy player. That is one of the picks that I got right. So I'll talk about that one. Now, one I didn't get right, Martellus Bennett. He was a big surprise this week with 3 touchdowns in Brady's return. Do you think he's a must start every week at tight end now?
Well, you got, what are we, week 5? So you got a 3-game sample size of him being a top 5, top 10, you know, depending on your scoring system. You know, 2 100-yard games without Brady, and then the 3 touchdown game with Brady. You know, I don't think you're going to get Gronk 100 yards, Bennett, you know, 3 touchdowns, Chris Hogan 100 yards, and Edelman nothing. You know, I mean, I know he had the team lead in targets. James White, you know, 60 yards receiving. Obviously, Brady's not going to throw for 400 yards on a weekly basis. And he's probably going to be, you know, 2 to 3 touchdowns consistently if he stays healthy and this team stays healthy. So there's going to be weeks where somebody a la Edelman gets left out. So Bennett's going to have these weeks, you know, off. But until he doesn't do something, you know, to until he proves himself to be a dud on a probably 2 to 3 week stretch, you have to start him every week, you know. So the people that drafted him as a second tight end, trade him if you can, because you probably get something great in return. But otherwise, if he's your best tight end, you play him. There's no reason not to.
I'm looking at some of those fringe guys, Gary Barnage, Kobe Fleener, who I was really high on at the beginning of the season. And it looks like I was wrong, but I would rather start Bennett than either of those guys right now. I think he's well in the tight end one range, even in small 10-team leagues. So, I'm starting Martellus Bennett. I'm buying it. And Jimmy Graham, that's another name.
Yeah, those two guys, you know, I mean, I think Bennett, by the time we got to the end of draft prep, he was, you know, close to a top, certainly top 15, but, you know, I think in the 12 to 13 range, I had him ranked, I think, 13th coming into the season. So he's kind of been in that conversation already, and I think he's just proving himself to be that guy. The problem with Bennett that we've seen, obviously different teams, is that he's typically got off to good starts and then really tailed off. You know, we used to just call him Mr. September because he was so great in the first month of the season, and then he just, for whatever reason, when he was in Chicago, even the 1 year with the Giants, he just tailed off. So hopefully this becomes a consistent thing, you know, and again, I hate saying the name just because of what it brings, but when you had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, that duo was so good for fantasy owners and so good for the Patriots. They've been trying to recreate that with Timothy Wright, with Scott Chandler. You know, they just haven't found the right second guy. And clearly, just in terms of pedigree, Martellus Bennett's there. And then Jimmy Graham, to me, it's one of the more fascinating things that's happened this season, because Victor Cruz couldn't get back on the field after the torn patella tendon for a year and a half. And I know he had the calf injury, and, you know, that kind of just lends to one injury compensating for the other, and, you know, the setback that he suffered, unfortunately. But Graham to come back and to look as good as he has been, I know he looks maybe a half a step slower, but, you know, he's still such a physical presence. He still has the athleticism that probably is only at 80% right now, you know, just speculating. And the bye week, I'm sure, is going to be a great thing for him. So, yeah, both those guys have solidified themselves, I think, as top 10 guys until proven otherwise.
And Graham's in the slot now. Teams don't know how to deal with that. Both those cases are so interesting. I mean, Bennett was a number 3 tight end 2 years ago. I think a lot of people forget that. He was really good, and that was with Jay Cutler. Now, when you've got Tom Brady, I'm not so sure Gronk and Martellus Bennett aren't going to be the 2 best receivers on this Patriots team, and maybe James White, number 3. You know, Belichick always has a different way of doing things, and I would not be the least bit surprised.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady's history. You know, we used to do a show with Chad Ochocinco at CBS Sports, and it was the year after he was cut from the Patriots, after he finished his Dolphins tenure, as brief as it was. And so he was, you know, always telling us that, you know, he was a bad fit there because their offense is inside out, you know, and he's used to playing on an offense that is challenged down the field, you know, playing outside the hash marks. And he said Tom Brady just prefers to look in the middle of the field, and they'll take their shots down the field, which is why I think Chris Hogan is going to be such a significant factor for them, because now they have a guy that can play in both sides. You know, when he's on the field, you don't really know what he's going to do, because he could play the slot, he could play outside. You saw them take the shots with him last week, or, you know, yesterday against the Browns. And, you know, he's just a different dimension for them. But yeah, I think between both tight ends, between James White, you know, people were so concerned about James White because he was so not involved in the first four games. But that's Brady's safety blanket. You know, I mean, he's done it with Kevin Faulk. He did it with Danny Woodhead. He did it with, you know, brief tenure with Shane Vereen. Last year, it was Deion Lewis and James White. So, yeah, it's just such a fun offense to watch. And you don't know how to defend it. And, you know, as long as Blunt can find the end zone, you know, you're going to get these 30, you know, rushing yard games, unfortunately, more times than not. But if he finds the end zone, you'll still get that production on top of it. So they're just a fantasy dynamo.
It's so rough, though, because you never know who's going to go off that week. You never know when Jonas Gray is going to go for four touchdowns. And it's just, he's so unpredictable. And I hate owning fantasy players, but man, they sure do score a lot of points.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to be a fun offense to follow the rest of the way.
So you mentioned Chris Hogan. I think he's the top ad of the week. And I know he's not available in your leagues and he's not available in mine. But a bunch of the people listening, he's available in 60% of fantasy leagues right now. And he looked great. Do you think he's the top ad this week?
He's up there. You know, it depends on Sammy Coates and if he's still out there. You know, for our side, I think he was like 66% ownership going into coming out of Sunday. Hogan, for sure. You know, he was the guy that we were touting in the offseason, you know, and people dropped him just because, again, he had to make moves in the first 4 weeks because of all the injuries. But yeah, go get him. I think Cameron Meredith, you know, certainly proved himself with Kevin White's injury and Brian Hoyer relying on him. Especially with Eddie Royal still banged up, you know, it'd be nice for one of these weeks to have Alshon Jeffrey do something, you know, more than just a 70-yard performance, you know, not finding the end zone. But I think Meredith is in that conversation too. So, you know, we're going to see, you know, some of these receivers, I think, start to get cycled in and out. You know, the people that picked up Dontrell Inman last week or Robert Woods or, you know, I think Davante Adams even is in the conversation after Randall Cobb. I know he's fine, but, you know, still getting banged up. But Adams has been, you know, more productive than not, surprisingly so, this season. So we'll see. You know, I think Hogan, though, you know, anytime you get a piece of the Patriots offense, like you said, it's going to be frustrating. There are going to be weeks where, you know, they disappear. And next week, you know, against Cincinnati, you could see it's Fede Edelman, you know, just because he hasn't had the big game yet. And that's Tom Brady's guy. It could be James White, you know, gets, you know, two touchdown passes and, you know, the other guys are left out, or it could be a three touchdown day for Gronk. So I think as long as Hogan's on the field and getting, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5+ targets, you're going to have the opportunity to use him, to flex him, to, you know, third receiver in a three receiver league. He should be owned at least in, you know, 60-70% of leagues in any format.
Let's talk about that Bears situation. Brian Hoyer, he's been super in those two games. He finishes the QB5 this week in week 5. Is he going to hold on to the job when Cutler comes back? And if so, should listeners consider picking him up?
Well, I mean, you know, you think about where we are in terms of the fantasy season. You know, we're at the bye week point. You know, luckily we head into week 6 where Jameis Winston's really the only fantasy relevant guy. You know, I don't know how many people have been starting Sam Bradford outside of 2 quarterback leagues. So we'll find out if Cam Newton's able to return. We'll find out if Carson Palmer's able to return from their concussions. But I think Hoyer has earned the right. It's not just 2 weeks, it's 3 weeks now. You know, he's done it, you know, three games in a row. And it's a great matchup against Jacksonville. I have him ranked, you know, just my early rankings for this week. I think he's 10th. I haven't finalized it, but he's in that range. You know, their offense just started to click, whether it coincides with the schedule, whether it coincides with, you know, just guys finding their roles, you know, with White going out, with Cameron Meredith stepping in, with, you know, Jeffrey Decoy or whatever he's been, because he's been frustrating. But Zach Miller, you know, stepping up, you know, especially the 3 touchdowns in the first 2 games, offensive line coming together. Or it's just Hoyer. You know, maybe just Hoyer is a better fit for what the Bears want to do at this particular juncture. We're based in South Florida. There's already some talk about maybe when the Dolphins, if in fact they do move on from Ryan Tannehill, they go get Jay Cutler because they could probably get him cheap. And
that would be terrible for them, I think.
Well, I agree, but, you know, his best year did come with Adam Gase, and he's the head coach in Miami. So, you know, if in fact his quarterback whisperer status fails with Ryan Tannehill, maybe he goes back to the well of somebody who's available, and you draft somebody, you bring in, you know, Cutler for a short-term situation just to see. Look, he can't be any worse than Ryan Tannehill at this point. And you would take Jay Cutler's performance last year than what you've gotten from Tannehill over the last 2 years. So I think Cutler's time in Chicago has certainly probably run out. And I just don't know if you're John Fox at this point, you've won 2 games. Why would you go away from Hoyer until he proves to turn into a pumpkin like he typically does? But for this particular moment, stick with him and see how he keeps this going.
It's so interesting to think about the Dolphins situation. If they would have lost just one more game, they would have Andrew Luck as their quarterback. The entire franchise would be different.
Totally, yeah. I mean, you know, suck for Luck was big down here. So it certainly was a different scenario, you know, going back. They've made some, you know, really poor choices, you know, draft-wise. The trade up for, man, his name has escaped me, the defensive end from Oregon that they drafted, that they traded up to get a third spot that was suspended, Deion Jordan.
Deion Jordan. I couldn't think of it either because he's so bad.
That was a disaster in the in the former regime before Mike Tannenbaum took over. And now, you know, they had the what seemed to be a lucky situation of Laremy Tunsil landing in their lap. And you think, okay, the offensive line is going to be better. Well, they can't get anybody healthy. Pouncey was out. Pouncey comes back. Brandon Albert's still sick. Tunsil falls in the shower. I mean, you know, it's just
amazing.
A crazy, crazy situation.
So if Brian Hoyer doesn't stick around, if Jay Cutler takes that job back, does Cameron Meredith's value drop? I mean, it's pretty clear. Hoyer likes throwing the ball to Cameron Meredith with Kevin White out. But if Cutler comes back, I don't think I'm going to touch Meredith.
I probably would wait and see, you know, just to give it a game. I don't think anybody's, you know, running to pick up Cameron Meredith to start him unless you're talking about a 14-team league or a 16-team league again. You know, the wide receiver position has been beat up because of Dez Bryant, Eric Decker's injuries, and, you know, some of the other situations, Steve Smith now being banged up. But it hasn't been decimated to the level like, you know, other positions, specifically running back, you know. So I think if you're looking at it, if Meredith is a guy you want to speculate on and you need him this week, if Hoyer is the starter, you start him again. If Meredith is a guy you just want to see, okay, my, you know, Antonio Brown's on a bye in a couple weeks, or, you know, pick a team, you know, that starting receivers on a bye, you know, coming up, then, okay, I want Meredith for that particular week because the matchup is really good. That's the type of move I think you want to do with a Cameron Meredith. So you give it a couple weeks to see how the quarterback situation unfolds. And look, to be honest, if he has another game against like this against Jacksonville, you know, may not be the 100 yards and the touchdown, but if he has, you know, 10 targets or, you know, just is fed the ball like we saw last week, then you can consider starting him sooner than later. But I think he's one of those guys that, you know, you want to just kind of take a wait and see approach, but definitely put on your roster so nobody else gets him. And then you kind of let the quarterback play shake itself out, or the quarterback situation shake itself out before you're starting Meredith in the majority of leagues.
Okay, now, Jamie, I need some personal advice here because I'm undefeated in my work league and I got to beat these guys. I don't have a wide receiver. Kevin White's hurt. Everybody's hurt. So I need to decide, am I picking up Adam Thielen or Sammy Coates? Which of these guys do you like best going forward? I mean, Coates is so strange. Every week he grabs a long pass or two, but he's dropping all kinds of great opportunities. I mean, I don't know if the Steelers are going to trust him going forward. Should fantasy owners?
You know, we had this conversation in our studio yesterday. I'll paint the picture for you. So after the game, we have a green room at our studio at CBS Sports down here in Fort Lauderdale. Pete Prisco is one of the, you know, more noted NFL writers, has been with CBS Sports for many, many years. And John Beeson, the former linebacker for the Giants and the Panthers, he does some stuff for us. So he's in the room. And we're having this conversation, myself and Dave Richard, our other fantasy guy at CBS Sports. Is Sammy Coates a good player? And Pete's argument was, you'll take a guy that's always open as opposed to somebody who can't get open. So if he's catching half of his targets, at least he's catching the half you hope that matter, but he's always giving you the chance that you're going to go to him. I look at it as, if he's playing for any other team opposite any other receiver, I don't think he's open, you know, because he's playing with arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the best, you know, just, you know, however you feel about Ben Roethlisberger. But he's definitely playing against the guy that's going to draw the most attention because Antonio Brown, you know, commands a linebacker, a corner, a safety, sometimes two, you know, I mean, he's draws so much attention. And so Coates is always going to be in single coverage. And so he's talented enough to get to a spot where Ben's going to feed him. But he dropped four touchdowns, or he dropped three touchdowns or two touchdowns yesterday, whatever it was. He had four touchdowns potentially in his hands. And so, yes, he caught two of them. And yes, you'll love that as a fantasy owner. But when you take a step back from it, it's like, this guy's just not that good. And so I think from looking at it, you know, Adam Thielen really benefited without Stephon Diggs there. Coates, because of Eli Rogers being hurt, because Marcus Wheaton has, you know, really proven to be who he is, which is, you know, a third or a fourth receiver for an NFL team. And Coates, again, is finding ways to get open. You hope that, okay, if he gets eight targets, he's catching six as opposed to four. And those six can, again, be, you know, the one long play, you know, another intermediate catch, you know, it turns it into a six for 80, six for 100. and then, you know, finds the end zone. So I think Sammy Coates should be owned across the board. He's been better than he hasn't been as good as the preseason hype we hoped to be, but he's been better than when all the preseason hype fell off and everybody ran away from him. So you'll take what he's given you the last couple of weeks, and hopefully that he starts to just click and gets it moving forward.
Now, the one other receiver that I think a lot of people have been looking at is Kenny Britt, because he's the number one receiver. And I know it's the Los Angeles Rams offense, but he's going to get plenty of snaps. He's going to get his targets. Is he worth picking up, or would you rather take a flyer on some guy with more upside?
I'd take my chances with Meredith probably before Kenny Britt. I would say the same thing, you know, about Coates or Hogan, and at this point, maybe even Thielen, and we'll see, you know, how some of these other guys, you know, cycled that we've been cycling through moving forward. Again, Dontrell Inman, Adam Humphries, you know, I think Cole Beasley's established himself, but, you know, you maybe put him in that conversation. Jamison Crowder, you know, he's had the two good games and then disappeared the last couple of weeks because of Kirk Cousins. So, you know, Britt's in that conversation. I think if you are completely frustrated with whoever you've picked up at the end of your bench, running back, receiver, you know, maybe second quarterback, and you're stuck for this week, then you go get somebody like Britt. But he's going to, you know, disappoint you. I mean, think about, you know, two games ago or whatever it was, maybe it was the Tampa Bay game. You know, he was coming off the good game the week before, goes into Tampa Bay. They have those little cornerbacks, you know, typically big receivers have had success against them. And then Case Keenum can't get him the ball. So, you know, Brian Quick has been more of the end zone, you know, red zone threat, or at least, you know, finding the end zone more so than Britt at this point. And you always have the Tavon Austin factor. So he's going to disappoint you, I think, more so than help you. But again, if you're stuck, and you just got to hope that this is one of those weeks where he gets his targets, then, you know, that's a guy that you know, I think can hopefully gravitate toward, you know, and get, you know, the 5 for 75, like we saw yesterday.
Now, the running back pickups are really ugly. JJ is still available remarkably in a bunch of leagues, and he got the lion's share of the touches against the out of the Dolphins backfield. Is Foster coming back soon, or should we just all rush to go sign JJ?
He was limited in practice last week, and I think he's getting closer. At what point will they give him a full workload, even if he is active? I don't know, but, you know, we're coming off of a 2.5 game stretch of the 4-man committee for Miami, and so I would imagine that when Foster is back, it's a combination of Ajayi and Foster, and maybe, you know, Drake, potentially Damien Williams mixed in too. So Foster, I think, is somebody that you want to take a wait and see approach to, but it's not a bad idea to pick up Ajayi. You know, I'm not exactly sure what he finished with his yards per carry yesterday. At one point I saw he was at 4.5, and coming into the game and the limited touches that he had the two previous games, he was at 4.7 yards per carry. So it just made sense to give him more work. Obviously Pittsburgh is a very good defense, especially when Ryan Shazier is healthy. So he's missed the last couple of games. So you've seen some success from running backs against them. You know, I know yesterday wasn't probably the best indication because Matt Forte has really hit a wall, and Bilal Powell, I don't think, is a great runner just yet, not in the limited touches that he's getting. So you saw Spencer Ware in the garbage time game 2 weeks ago, you know, had the 82 yards rushing. So I think Ajayi can have a similar performance like what we saw yesterday, you know, minimal yards, find the end zone, especially when they're chasing points. They're obviously not going to lean on the run. Pittsburgh's probably going to score on them early and often. So I think Ajayi is in the conversation of guys to pick up, but I don't know if he's a, you know, run, got to get him first just because, you know, he did score a touchdown yesterday.
Now for the deeper leagues, it's a mess at running back. The only guys you can really go for are the pass catchers, and this is someone that's off the radar a lot. He's only 1% of leagues, but Andrew Luck keeps throwing the ball to Josh Ferguson. Is there anything intriguing to you about Ferguson, or is this just kind of a fluke right now?
Well, I think that's Andrew Luck's, you know, history. I mean, think about Ahmad Bradshaw when he was good, you know, when he was part of that, you know, offense. And, you've seen it at times with Frank Gore. You know, it's hard to say because last year really wasn't an Andrew Luck year, but Gore's had, you know, a 5-catch, you know, game. He's had a 4-catch game. So he's been involved in that, you know. And yesterday you see, you know, 4 targets for Ferguson, only 2 catches, but there's been, you know, some good production there, a 5-catch game, a 4-catch game, you know, so he's been involved. I think just as long as Gore is healthy, you're never going to get consistent production from Ferguson. You know, if I was looking for a flyer of a guy catching a pass out of the backfield, I'd probably go for Bobby Rainey still. You know, I just think what we saw from him 2 weeks ago is something that we could probably see a little bit more often. You know, last night's game, again, same thing, 6 for 52, you know, so he's going to be, involved in that regard, you know, so 9 targets 2 weeks ago, 6 targets in the game against the Packers, you know, so if Bobby Rainey's out there, I think that's somebody I would look for if I'm looking for someone in a PPR league. But yeah, those guys are really the only ones, like you said, that are out there right now. It's the third down backs. Bilal Powell is another one, you know, who's, you know, somewhat available in a good portion of leagues. He would be somebody that I would just stash just to speculate on, because at some point, as we see all the time with 30 plus year old running backs, especially ones that change teams, they tend to break down. Matt Forte has been given a lot of work, certainly the first couple of weeks, and you never know if that's going to happen to him. He's been dealing with a rib injury, a knee injury. You know, I think if Powell were to get a full workload, he could have, you know, that lottery ticket type status.
I'm really intrigued by Powell. I was rushing out to pick him up last week after Matt Forte was out, and you know, Forte came back, but I'm not so sure that's going to last very long. So yeah, if Powell's available in your league, I think he trumps all these wide receivers, Sammy Coates, whoever. Go get yourself Powell, even over Ajayi and everything. Now at tight end, if you need somebody, the guy that I really like this week is Charles Clay. When Sammy Watkins went down, everyone was talking about Robert Woods getting a bunch of targets, but it seems like Clay's the biggest beneficiary. Do you agree?
Well, he didn't play so well two games ago. You know, last week was a better indication, I think, of what you can get from him. You know, if he's getting you 5 for 73, that's certainly something that, you know, we kind of always talk about it. Standard leagues, if you're getting 7 fantasy points from your tight end, you know, you're going to be in the top 15 conversation. And if he scores, that puts him closer to the top 5. So, you know, it's funny because he had 7 targets against the Patriots. That was his best game to date, 5 for 47. Then he comes back with the 5 targets against the Rams and gets you 5 for 73. I think that's probably his ceiling, to be honest with you. I know that there's clearly a lack of talent there, but you're seeing Tyrod Taylor. He uses Justin Hunter last week. He's clearly thrown to his running backs between McCoy and Mike Gillisley. You know, prior to last week's game, the two previous, Robert Woods has done a nice job. So Clay is not a big priority for me. I would probably look more sort toward like a Cameron Brait if he's still available. You know, just based on what his role is going to be for Tampa Bay. Again, we'll see what he does in this game against the Panthers. But I think there's more upside with somebody like that, more so than just what Clay has given you. Because no touchdowns so far. You know, he was disappointing last year. He's really been disappointing, you know, since that one breakout season in Miami.
Jamie, let's close out by talking about some streaming defenses. There's 4 of them I'm looking at right now that are owned in under 30% of leagues. I want you to tell me which ones you'd take first and second out of these. So you've got the Giants at home against Baltimore. You've got the Jets, maybe against Drew Stanton. I know it's at Arizona, and Carson Palmer is probably coming back, but this is a really juicy opportunity if Stanton is still the quarterback. You've got Detroit face Los Angeles. I pick on Los Angeles every single week. It really hasn't failed. Case Keenum's just a turnover machine. And then the other one that really stands out to me is Tennessee face Cleveland. It's a home game for Tennessee. I know they haven't been very good yet, but which of these defenses do you like first and second best?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, like I said, I've started to do my rankings. I usually finish them up by the end of the night, Monday night. I have the Titans ranked 7th right now, ahead of the Eagles, ahead of the Chiefs. Again, this is something that I usually just do kind of a brief outline on Sunday, and then I revisit it Monday. So if you see it on the site, that may change, but I mean, who's playing quarterback for Cleveland right now? You know, that's the first thing you got to look at. Is it going to be Cody Kessler, who's not that great, or even worse, Charlie Whitehurst? You know, so like you said, their defense, I think, has been better than people expected it to be, and certainly has probably overachieved a little bit. But you take away the Akeem Grant, you know, punt return yesterday, and they shut down the Dolphins' offense for the most part. I don't think that Cleveland's offense is better than Miami's, as bad as Miami has been. And so, you know, whether you're talking about Whitehurst or Kessler or, you know, Terrell Pryor, if they decide to, you know, really shake things up, it's going to be bad quarterback play. So they'll do what they've been doing, which is, you know, really limiting opposing running games and making teams throw. You know, you go back to week 1, they shut down Adrian Peterson. They've been really good against the run all the way through. And so I think between Brian Arakpo and, you know, just the defense as a whole, they'll get after, you know, the Browns quarterback and make things a little bit difficult for them. So especially, you know, it's always interesting, you know, especially with a team like the Titans, because and you see it with the Cowboys too in their performance yesterday against Cincinnati. When you're able to dominate time of possession, you're limiting what the opposing team can do. So if they're chasing 10 points, 14 points, 21 points, and I would imagine that Tennessee with their run game should be able to at least build a lead in this game. So now you're putting pressure on Charlie Whitehurst or Cody Kessler to have to make plays. I'll take my chances with that more times than not. So I take Tennessee 1, and then I agree with you. I think the Lions are the second best choice. I'm not sold on the Giants against the Ravens just because there's a coordinator change now. They fired Mark Trestman. You know, maybe there's an uptick in just a different attitude and how they approach things. And I do think that the Giants defense since the beginning part of the season because of injuries, and now they're banged up again at cornerback. So they're missing some guys in the back half of their defense. So if Steve Smith and Mike Wallace are out, that probably changes the approach with the Giants. But I have the Lions right now at 13, the Giants at 14. And the Jets, I would expect Carson Palmer to be back. And that defense has just been so miserable. So it's just hard to trust them, especially on the road.
I'm looking at this AFC South right now. I think the Titans are going to end up winning that division. What do you think?
It's funny because how things have changed. I still wouldn't rule out the Colts, you know, just because they have the best player in the division. And he's found a way, you know, especially in that division, to win most of his games. So I still think the Colts are going to be a factor, but the Texans, wow, that just has become a disaster, you know, after such a good start without J.J. Watt there. I think this game, you know, between the Colts and the Texans will be a big deciding factor. But yeah, Tennessee could sneak in there, you know, and it'd be really funny. I think if you ask a Titans fan before the season, would you rather win the division and keep Mike Mularkey for another year or lose and have Mike Mularkey fired? You'd probably get a really interesting answer.
That's a great comment, Jamie. And we're going to end it on that. That's all the questions we have for you. And thank you again for coming on. It's a blast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For those of you listening, we have two more shows coming this week. We've got one with Dalton Del Don of Yahoo.com and one with Jared Cord of FantasyCrunchers.com. It's going to be the DFS show that comes out Friday morning, so make sure to tune into those. If you've been listening and you haven't already, please jump over to iTunes and subscribe. Leave us a rating and review. Really helps us out, and we really appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.